learning.
What we want to learn and practice this week is that we always have a choice in life. We use our judgment ability to make wise, helpful, just decisions for our individual relationships and for our society. At a certain point in his ministry, Jesus redefines himself and his mission. The Jesus of Jerusalem is different than the Jesus of the Galilean ministry. He taught and healed in Galilee, but he knew he was a marked man by the religious and legal establishments of his time. He began to speak of his death and resurrection. A cosmic showdown and climax were shaping up. The life statement that had to be made could not be in words or healing deeds alone. A drama was necessary in which the Father would show, through him, the power of love that can overcome and heal all humanity and the world. This was not a vicarious atonement, a sacrificial Lamb of God led to the slaughter to die on our behalf for the forgiveness of sins. It was an act of love, a crossing, so he could build a bridge that all could cross over into a greater realization of the kingdom of God in our midst. He realized he was not up against just individuals with their needs, but he and we face principalities and worldly power systems, violence, wars, empire building. He couldn't stay in Galilee to meet these. He had to make the choice to go to Jerusalem, and he followed that sense of mission. The religious leaders were fearful of the large following and leadership of Jesus. They believed if Jesus was not eliminated, he would win the people to him, and the accommodations the Jewish authorities had with the Roman army of occupation would be violated. The Roman army would come down on the Jewish nation and destroy them. Jesus had to go. It says in John chapter 11, verses 45 through 57, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, 'What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation.' But one of them, Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed.' He did not say this on his own, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked about openly among the Jews, but went from there to a town called Ephraim in the region near the wilderness, and he remained there with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and were asking one another as they stood in the temple, 'What do you think? Surely he will not come to the festival, will he?' Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know so that they might arrest him. We learn in our life that the only way out of a problem is through it. Many times we want to get around or over or avoid some big problem or challenge. We pray as Jesus did, 'Do I have to go through this? Is this necessary?' But it is these challenges that must be met by our Christ self, using all of our 12 powers. We may find in the process that all of our powers are not able to stand up to the pressure and stress, just as some of the disciples broke and ran and hid out. But the Christ self will remain and will get us through. Close your eyes for a moment and just try this prayer of surrender. I am here to do God's will, to unfold and express the divine purpose. I am not what I was. I am called to a higher and expanded purpose in life. I don't know how to do all that needs to be accomplished, but I offer myself to you, God. I am open to know and express what you have for me to do and to be used in the incredible work you have for me. I show up, I take the assignment. It is not I, but you, God, who will think, speak, act, and manifest your good through me. I choose to follow you, God, and let you lead me wherever the path goes. I can do none else. Amen. Jesus had his moment of truth in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here he went to pray, taking his trusty prayer partners, Peter, James, and John. Jesus faced the hardest choice of his life. He struggled. He sweated blood. He asked his friends to watch and pray with him. They kept falling asleep. He asked God to remove this task from him, but nevertheless, "Not my will, but yours be done," he prayed. He released himself totally to God and was at peace. We are beings of choice. The choices we make form our lives. So ask yourself, on what do I base my choices? How can I make the wisest and best choices? If I have made unwise and foolish choices, do I realize I can re-choose? I don't have to live forever with bad choices. Judas represents the life power. Judas tried to force Jesus to use his powers to lead the people in fighting the Romans and reclaiming their land from the oppressive rule. Judas is looked on as a betrayer, but he was more a misguided political revolutionary. He didn't get it that Jesus was going to create a different kind of revolution. Jesus said in John 18, verse 36, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Totally misunderstanding his consciousness and mission, Judas chose to bring Jesus into the hands of the Sanhedrin, who wanted Jesus dead. Then when he realized the terrible way he had misjudged Jesus and the whole situation, Judas asked to give his 30 pieces of silver back to the authorities, but they said, "Keep it," and Judas hung himself in despair over his mistake. Here we see a series of life choices, a number of tragically bad choices on Judas' part. Even after Jesus was arrested but did not resist, Judas could have seen his mistake and chosen to do something different than committing suicide. What other choices could he have made? What would you have done if you were Judas? How did Jesus make use of the situation in which he now found himself? Joshua 24, verses 14 through 28, is all about making wise choices. Joshua is laying it out for his people and telling them to get with the program. And if you look up Joshua in Fillmore's Metaphysical Dictionary, you will find that Joshua means Jah is Savior, identical with the name Jesus, I am that I am. So Joshua is the Jesus of the Old Testament. It said, "Now therefore, revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." The attitude of reverence is an important quality in developing the Christ consciousness. Without it, the mind loses a certain necessary connection with spirit and lacks the central poise of faith that gives a religious sense to the process. So we are to revere the Lord. And the Lord is the activity of the spiritual I am as the ruling consciousness. It is the Christ, the spiritual man, our divine consciousness, the creative power within us. And we are to put away the gods that our ancestors served in Egypt. Because if we think of ourselves as descended from human ancestors, we are in bondage to all the limitations of those ancestors. And Egypt stands for the darkness of ignorance, flesh consciousness, mental bondage to sense thoughts. Scripture continued to say, "Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord or your Christ consciousness, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of limitation or the gods of the darkness of ignorance. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." The house that God builds and dwells in is man's body. So the household it is referring to is you. As it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? And in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, for we are the temple of the living God. The scripture continues, then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. So the people are saying that they will not go against their Christ consciousness, because it is the Christ within them that has brought them out of the darkness and protected them. So they proclaim that they will serve God. Then the scripture says, but Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. So Joshua is telling his people that this is a high calling and not to be taken lightly, for their God is spiritually whole, and to serve him, they must be whole in spirit, mind, and body, and that they must not think thoughts that violate the principle of mental harmony that is inherent in that highest part of themselves. For we create our own punishment when we sin. And what is sin? Sin is our failure to express the attributes of spirit, life, love, intelligence, wisdom, and the other God qualities. Then the scripture says, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. So when we serve the foreign gods of lack, limitation, addiction, and ignorance, we are not being true to who and what we truly are. So we break ourselves into pieces trying to prove that we are separate from God, and we get eaten up with the pain of not being one with God. So Joshua is warning the people to not hurt themselves in that way. And the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself, that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Incline your heart is widely used for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect. He is saying that they should center themselves in the God of Israel. Center themselves in their spiritual consciousness. Center themselves in the thoughts that they have been shaped in truth and righteousness that make up the spiritual mind. People said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. A covenant is a contract or agreement between two parties. Covenant means to cut. So a covenant is a cutting, with reference to the cutting or dividing of animals into two parts and the contracting parties passing between them and making a covenant. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone, set it up there under the oak in the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, see, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord and that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, if you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away to their inheritances. And their inheritances were their blessings. Our inheritance from God is divine ideas. These ideas find expression in what we call our good. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 to 20 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. We will close with Romans 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you, and you will become an inhabitant here and now of a new heaven and a new earth. Amen.